Today I want to talk on blessed and highly favored. This is not a simple self-righteous religious statement, but I want to talk about a revelation of being blessed and highly favored, not as a religious saying, not because you even say so, but because Jesus says so, because our Heavenly Father says so. And He has deemed it this way in revealing more of His identity, more of His character, more of His purpose in Christ to us. And if you don't understand that, you go and read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. And that is the message of the gospel. The Father planned it, the Son paid for it, and the Holy Spirit sealed it. And we want to do everything in the power of the Holy Spirit that it works within us. And so we look at our first scripture this morning, Ephesians 1, 3. We're going to do a lot of Bible work today. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. And if you go to that chapter in Ephesians that I spoke about, do yourself a favor. Every time it says in, highlight it, circle it, or underline it. And you will see how much spiritual blessings we have been given in Christ Jesus, because that's the caveat, in Christ Jesus because of what the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have done in our lives. We have to understand that God and only God is the author and the giver of all blessings. He is the covenant maker, and as I've said before, the covenant was cut between the Father and the Son that we might live and dwell in that. The new covenant is what we are talking about. You go and listen. If you missed last week, I suggest you listen to last week. And then it goes on and says, every spiritual blessing. And when I read that and when I ponder and I think about that, man, we celebrate Thanksgiving in a meaningful way, but that is not the same as the Thanksgiving we should celebrate in Christ Jesus. For every spiritual blessing, these blessings are eternal, they are not temporal. They are given by the Father to us, they are solid, they are substantial, and they are everlasting. And we get to walk in that. It says in heavenly places, meaning we are blessed from above, from the Father to us, where our hope and our inheritance is laid up in heaven, denoting these blessings are out of reach of any devilish or evil or effect that are from the below trying to ascend. And we know we are seated in heavenly places, and we are above and not below, and we are the head and not the tail, and we know all that stuff. But we need to see the revelation of in Christ Jesus. We are not that because of ourselves, not because of our self-righteous acts. We are because of His imputed righteousness to us. And they are kept safe there in heaven as the Father sends Him down to us and seated in the heavenly realms with Him. Kingdom now and kingdom later. And we have to understand then it says in Christ. He is, Jesus is the head of the church, and He is the representative, the direct image of God. And we are His members and partakers in this blessing because Christ Himself is the sum of the substance of all these blessings. And people, well, what is my purpose, Jesus? What should I do, Jesus? Why am I on earth, Jesus? I know we try and complicate it and make it look difficult, but it's not. Psalm 40:40, reading from the Passion Translation, says this, blessing after blessing comes to those who love and trust the Lord. They will not fall away. So now that we understand that, and trust we have a revelation of that, why don't you turn and look at somebody next to you and say, I am blessed and highly favored. Come on, don't be shy. I am a beautiful thing. I am blessed, and I am a blessing because of Jesus. We never take anything for ourselves. We never give any glory to ourselves, but we give it to Him and Him alone. So let's go back to where we started this whole thing in John chapter 10. And we're going to read back a little bit now. John chapter 10, verse 7, we're going to read from. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. What a promise. What a blessing for us. We have to understand that when we read this stuff, and as Yoav said, we can't just take scriptures and try and proofread them and make them mean what we feel good about. We have to look at the context. And the context of this is going back, and if you read through chapter 9, you start off when Jesus heals a blind man. He was healed because he was there, and Jesus came across him, and Jesus healed him. And then when he is asked, and you go and read the whole story just to shorten up the story, as it were, we just go through it, and then he's questioned. Well, Jesus is questioned, why was he born blind? Was his parents' fault or was his fault? He says, none. It's so that God's works could be glorified. And then Jesus takes mud and he rubs it in the guy's eyes. This is now considered work because it's on the Sabbath. And he does it and says, go to the pool of Siloam and go and wash. And he goes and he's healed and he comes back. And then they start questioning him. And they didn't like the answer that he gave him. So what did they do? They kicked him out of the church. And the parents, even when the parents go and they question the parents, they say, you should ask him, he's of age, because they knew where they were headed and they didn't want to get kicked out of the church. And here we have these Pharisees that are questioning him. And Jesus comments this very type of shepherd and sheep analogy throughout chapter 10 and a little bit into chapter 11. It says, with the Pharisees, admonishing them, and in John 10:41, they ask, so are we also blind? They're claiming to be, well, are we blind too? What are you saying, Jesus? And they claim that they are spiritually blind, yet believe that they have insight. And then he goes on in chapter 10, and he goes on and talks about thieves and robbers and hired hands and wolves, referring to the Pharisees. And that's why we started off, and Michael did a great exegesis in the beginning of this when he preached a couple of weeks ago, that we've always thought the thief was Satan. Well, it's not. So all who came before me were thieves and robbers. And these are the Pharisees he's talking about. And it goes on and he talks about how they, these wolves and thieves and hired hands and think that they're the door and the gate, and they're not. They feed themselves and they steal and kill and destroy without taking care of the needs of the sheep. And then he goes on and says, I am the door. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. And I've come to bring and give you abundant life. And we, when we look to Jesus and Jesus only, we see that. Let's go back a couple of chapters, John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory. The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. Verse 16. Out of His fullness we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Law was given to Moses. Jesus, who is grace and truth, came and dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God is with us. He came and incarnated here in flesh and had the same kind of issues that we have in our lives, but he never, ever, hashtag, failed the test. He always passed. We have seen His glory, the glory, the doxa in the Old Testament, God's presence, or the kabod in the Hebrew in that time. They had seen His glory as God did many things, and it was manifested and embodies the dual sense of God's ruling divinity made visible through observable actions and of great power. And if you read your Old Testament, you'll see that happened often. But now in the New Testament, His manifested glory, His doxa, is revealed through His one and only Son, Jesus. And when we read one and only Son, we have to understand it's not like Louise's our one and only daughter. Or you might have your one and only son. That is not the context. The context is this: the only one of a kind son. Now, I know most parents because, yes, Louise is one of a kind. But the divine nature, the divine glory, the divine power of the one and only Son, the one of a kind Son, came grace and truth. The definitive revelation of grace and truth is Jesus. And then God pours out His blessing and favor upon us, beholding the glory, and we are transformed from one degree of glory into another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We have to understand that God is not in the addition and subtraction methodology. He's into multiplication. It's like when our blessings are multiplied to us. Sometimes we just go through life and we don't even see it. And I've told you, sometimes I come and I just sit here and I sit on the stage in the dark and I just go, Lord, thank you for this amazing building. It had absolutely nothing to do with me. Or any of us, actually. This is just God's provision, His grace and His favor and His blessing upon our lives. This is just nice four walls that keep us warm and dry and all the kind of good stuff. When we can grasp the concept of Father in heaven who has made a beautiful thing in me and you. Love your neighbor as yourself. How do you love yourself? Well, I just don't think much of me. Now, that's not what the Father says. You are the apple of His eye. He created you with a special DNA. He created you for a special purpose in His kingdom. Besides being valuable to us, Bridget and I, and to the elders, the pastors of the church, you are more than valuable to the Father. You have value, you have worth to Him. And sometimes our tiny, finite minds can't grasp this thing. I mean, sit and ponder sometimes, we are seated in heavenly places. Try and wrap your head around that one. And when He says, called us in the New King James, and He calls you beloved, when the King James calls you beloved, calls us. Under the law, this glory that we speak about that Moses had was a diminishing glory. It was a perishing glory. And he had to put a veil over his face after he had spent time with God. But today, in the new covenant, with the power of the Holy Spirit, the sealer of the new covenant, when the glory comes, we are being transformed from one degree of glory to another because we don't have to hide our face. We don't have to hide the veil because the curtain has been torn and we have entrance to the Father and we live in His presence and we live in His blessing. We live in His favor. Because of His goodness to us. Because we are being transformed from one likeness of His character and His nature and His goodness and His redemptive power. And His increasing glory is revealed in redemption and justification and sanctification and glorification and all this other vocation. And we reveal His glory through the fruit of the Spirit. Do you know that we don't get little bits of the fruit of the Spirit? We either get it all or we get nothing. Love, peace, patience, kindness, all that kind of good stuff. And that's how we reveal and revel in it. Ephesians 3:17 goes on and says, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. I'm a little bit bad. God does not hold back from you. God is not in the punishing business. God does not punish you. He's not sitting in heaven with a big stick waiting. God loves to bless His children when we stand firm. Christ in our hearts, Christ and the Holy Spirit are one in our hearts, and we are blessed in and through them. It's not of ourselves. The fullness of God is found through Jesus Christ, and it's from His fullness that we receive blessing after blessing. 1 Peter 2:9 says something like this. The words say that we are a chosen people. Do you believe that? Are you a chosen people? It says also that we are a royal priesthood. Not just any old priesthood, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His possession. And when we get that, that we understand who we are in Christ, where our identity comes from, what is our family name, when we belong to the family of God, then we don't allow your mind and any cynicism to creep in and allow a small view of God to pervade your thinking. We have to get a bigger revelation of the greatness and the goodness of our God, our Father in heaven. And we need to develop a high view of God. Because we will only live to the expectation of that view. If you think that I used to think when I was young and foolish, that God lived in heaven and He was like a puppeteer making it all work down here. And He was just pulling my strings. Sounded like a good philosophy to me. Because I was brought up in the church from an early day, but I didn't want to then talk about Jesus. Because the minute I spoke about Jesus, you know there's power in the name of Jesus. Then my philosophical ideas went out the window. So let's just talk about God because He's just up there and He's far off. As the song says, watching from a distance. He is not watching from a distance. He is right here, right now. Isn't that awesome? We don't have to ask the Holy Spirit to come because He's here with us. If you believe that you're a follower of Christ, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit, and so when you walk through this door, you bring Him with you. It's not like we check Him at the door, and then Holy Spirit, please come. Okay, you all left me at the door, I'm now coming. No. When we walk in, He's with us. And we can ask for the increase of His manifest presence. We develop a high view of God. 2 Peter 3:17 says, therefore, beloved, knowing this, beforehand, take care. Let's just pause, Sella, there for a moment. Knowing what beforehand? Because it's good to ask questions. What do we know beforehand? According to God's promise, we wait for the new heaven and the new earth. That's what we're waiting for. That's where we're waiting for our heaven, where righteousness will dwell. We live in a fallen world. We are righteous, seated in heavenly places. But we live in a fallen world. And that's why there's nonsense that goes on. And while we are waiting, the thieves and robbers and hired hands and wolves and all unstable kinds of people, as we read in John 10, who are unstable will twist God's word to make it mean, and it means their own actual destruction. That sounds interesting, Mark. Where'd you get that idea from? I'm so glad you asked. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care. That you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. What stability? The one where you are rooted and grounded and know the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of His love. That we are understand that, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So be it. Amen. Grow in grace and knowledge. Grow in the abundant life. Mature in the abundant life. Develop the abundant life within you because that's why Jesus came, to give us abundant life and to set us apart from sin in our lives. Break down the barriers of cynicism and unbelief. Ephesians 4:14 says, we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every kind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. How do we do this? I'm so glad you asked. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power. Do you know that? That your spiritual weapons have divine power. Use them. Don't abuse them. Follow the King. Follow His word. Follow what He is saying. Be followers, disciples of Christ. Lord, your Spirit in living in me, your Holy Spirit living in me, gives me this divine power, that dunamis, Am I getting excited? I'm not shouting. I love you too much to shout at you. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. God is not in the separating business. He's in the reconciling business. He's wanting us to get this right. He's wanting us to get, and then we come up and have an opinion about something. And then we say, well, is that biblical? Well, I don't know. That's just how I feel. You know, Russ Doty always says, some philosophy is good philosophy, but it's not good Bible. We got to have good Bible. We want the Bible to be our plumb line for us. Then I couch it in such a way that I now twist God's arm to make it mean what my opinion says. We want to be in line with His nature and His character. We want to see His truth. And sometimes His truth is itchy, scratchy for us. And sometimes His truth is like, you know, if you've learned something and you've been brought up a certain way and been in church 20 or 30 years, and then you have a new revelation of something in Scripture, it's hard to actually change your ideas and go, yeah, that's not what my pastor taught me. We want to know God more and more as we go deeper and more intimate, more grace will flow in our lives. Do you know that being gracious and living in grace are two different things? God wants every barrier, every point of breakdown, every point of separation revealed and healed that we can live in unity with the Father. You know, if you go and read the book of Nehemiah and you'll see all the different gates that they had to repair and all that kind of stuff and the way things went about, there wasn't so much to keep the people in, it was to keep the enemy out. And we learn to build good walls and great walls for the kingdom, not our own little walls and my, I'm just going to protect me and myself and my little thing. When we see that and we build those, we'll keep the enemy out because he won't have a way in. And when we have cracks in the walls and the gates are broken, we need to repair them and come before the Father. Number one, we are blessed and highly favored. How far do you think God will go to restore reconciliation with us? And I know some of you, well, I've been given this ministry and I've been given that ministry and I have this and I have that. We better to go, I have nothing, God has it all. And the only ministry that we were given is the ministry of reconciliation. We want to create our own. Even Adam and Eve did it, you heard me. Adam and Eve created their own ministry called Fig Leaf Ministry International. And they, instead of obeying God and doing what He asked them to do. Number one, the abundant life in reconciliation. He sent His Son and cut a new covenant with us, with mankind. He became Emmanuel, God with us. Let's just pause for a moment and think. Not the Big Bang Theory. Almighty, sovereign God in heaven spoke and it was. Opened His hand and it was. Set the stars in the skies and it was. Took some clay and formed this puny little dude called Adam. Ruach, breath into him. And he came to life. But this same God, and we know the Trinity is three different entities, three different people, three different persons, spirit person. Jesus came to earth. God came to earth, Emmanuel, God with us, and walked amongst us. He came to bring a way to restoration, to reconciliation, to revelation, and to power. He showered us with blessing upon blessing. If you can think of it this way, with blessing upon blessing, can you imagine that God sends you a blessing and you go, oh, I'm so blessed. The next one is already backing up and on its way for you. And when that hits you, you go, oh, I'm so blessed. And then we have a little blip. It's like we're driving on the 401 and then we have these little things to go off to Scarborough and Pickering and Ajax and Oshawa or Whitby and then Oshawa and so on and so forth. And the Lord is saying, stay on the 401. And we're going, 401, oh, Scarborough, let's go and have a look. Stay on the 401. And then we go in Scarborough and we get into trouble. And we quickly, GPS, how do we get back on the 401? We get back on the 401. We go, and you know that we can eradicate all those little flaws. We want to see instead of looking. That's what the Pharisees were saying. Are we blind? Trying to intimate that they were all seeing. And sometimes we are not all seeing. Stay on the 401. And then when you're on the 401, the blessing is backing up and it's coming and it's coming. And then you have a blimp on the radar, and you go, God doesn't love me anymore. I'm not going to church anymore. And when I go, I'm not going to sing. I'm just going to dial out. I'm going to do my thing. You think God's impressed? Or caught by surprise? He goes, come on now, Bridgie. It's okay. Back on the 401. Back on the 401. Because he loves us too much to leave us while we're taking our little side roads. Isaiah 43:1. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. High view of God in heaven came to earth. That God is talking to you individually and saying to you, you are his. You want to have an identity of belonging? You belong to his family. You belong here. Isaiah 43:7, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory. Well, it's my body. I'll just do what I like with it. No, it's not yours. It's his. If you've given to him, of course. Whom I formed and made. We belong to him. Remember last week he said we're no longer under Mosaic law. Well, therefore we're not under law, we're under grace. We can just do what we like. No, because we are still under the law of Christ. The law of love, the law of the Spirit, the law of peace, the law of his love. The law of the Holy Spirit, the power. I have been bought with a price. I belong to him. I am not my own. Isaiah 43:25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Here's an interesting one. People go then and they read that and they go, God cannot remember our sins. They're as far as the east from the west. No, it's because he chooses not to. Because God cannot stand sin. And you know why he hates sin? Is because it damages his people. And he doesn't want to see us damaged. So therefore, he's removed them. I don't remember. I'm a big God, universe, omnipresent, omnipotent, all over, omniscience. No, God just forgot. God forgot nothing. He chooses for his sake so that he can be reconciled with us. Because the alternative to that is every time we mess up, he'll have to walk away from us. And that's not what a loving father does. Well, I trust as earthly dads, you don't do that. Does it for our sake. Because he truly wants a relationship with us more than we want a relationship with him. He wants an intimate, close relationship with us. And sometimes we have this attitude about ourselves. Well, I'll just try God. I'll just come with this misappropriated relationship where, but when we think of God as the big guy in the sky, or, you know, the big man up there, we have no idea of what we are talking about. It sounds like a good colloquialism and, you know, like I'm just going to, hey, I'll be cool with Jesus. We can't be cool with Jesus. We can't be cool with God. He is awesome. Can you let your minds wander again a little bit when he said, let there be light? We need a high view of God. Awesome fear, not trembling fear, awesome fear. When I come into his presence, I'm like, and you probably figure by now, I'm never short for a word. Imagine Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us, and while that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I've got to get my act together. I've got to get right. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to do the other. What, do you think you're going to make yourself righteous before God before you get there to become a son of God or daughter of God? No, no, no. His son already died 2,000 years ago. And that's why we say our sins, past, present, and future, were forgiven 2,000 years ago. You just realized that 10 days ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago. You just came to that revelation. Oh, my sins are forgiven. Because otherwise it means that Christ has to be crucified each time I found Jesus. No, you didn't. He found you. He's been talking to you for a long time. You know the story about the flood and the guys on the roof and he's waiting there and he's, Lord Jesus, please send somebody to save me. And next thing a motorboat punk, jump in. No, I'm waiting for God. Lord, send something, help me. Helicopter. Life belt comes down. No, no. And he drowns. He gets to heaven. He says, God, you didn't answer my prayer. He says, who do you think sent the helicopter and the boat? Waymaker. He's working when we even didn't know he's working. He's working when we even aren't obvious of it. If that sounded like good English, it wasn't. God is very active and committed to our relationship. He's not hanging around until we get it. He's working and wooing and doing all the time. God is never, you know, we read scripture and God, the seventh day he sat down and rested and we think that God sat for the rest of eternity just waiting now. No, 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 no. God's at work all the time. He's working right now in your hearts and your minds. Whether you're asleep or whether you're awake, while we were still raging in our sin, when we were still fighting, he sent his son to die on a cruel cross that we could live in liberty and freedom. Romans 5:10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we are also rejoicing God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Here is the greater to the lesser. You would think that it should always be the lesser to the greater. Respect for your elders. When if you're younger, you greet first. Now, God, to the greater to the lesser. He is coming along. We have received salvation. We have seen it through the blood of Christ, the propitiation of the blood of Christ. The wrath of God has been appeased. That's what it means. That's why he's not angry with us. Thank you, Jesus. Because otherwise, God could be very angry with a lot of us. Now, since we are reconciled to God through Christ, through his death and his resurrection, we are sure that we are going to see him one day. We live the abundant life now and later. Number two, the abundant life in power. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Again, high view of God. Well, I only think God can do so much. No, far more, way above than our finite little brains. Psalm 68:35, awesome is God. From his sanctuary, the God of Israel, he is the one who gives power and strength to his people. Blessed God. When we can individually grasp the goodness, the magnificence, the awesomeness, the sovereignty, the beauty, the majesticness, I'll make up a new word just now, of God in our own lives. When we come together in corporateness together like this, man, the anointing will come in deeper, greater measure. The manifestation of his presence will come in deeper revelation. One degree of glory to another. Acts 4:33, and with great power. You think it's because they were great orators? No, it tells you they were simple folk. With great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and grace was upon them all. Number three, last one, abundant life in revelation. Jesus' intention that the church will be built on the revelation of who he is. Speculation, interpretation, revelation. It goes like this. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, now let's just drill down, let's just see, you my disciples, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, and often I ponder, did Simon Peter think about this? Was there this sort of pregnant silence where they all were like, or did Peter just immediately go, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God"? I'd like to think the latter. And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." The great question, who do you say that I am? Revelation from Scripture will bring us through to where God opens the Word to us and we see it for ourselves. It's a lesson we will never ever forget. But we need to be seeking. This is the last one. Revelation unlocks the abundant life. We have a revelation of Jesus, the Father, Holy Spirit. It unlocks the abundant life because then we get, oh, that's it. That's the story. More grace, more blessing, more anointing. One degree of glory to the other, changing, becoming more Christ-like. When I talk about one degree of glory, and I'm not talking about glowing in the dark, you know, and floating 3 inches above the ground. I'm not talking about that. Part and parcel of that is, man, that person shines Jesus. What's different about that person? That's one degree of glory to another. Jesus says to Peter, Matthew, upon this revelation that I am the Christ, I will build my church. And Jesus, we thank you for building your church. This is not our church. This is our family. We are your called out ones. We are your ecclesia. We belong to you, Jesus. But Jesus, you continue to build your church. Jesus to Peter in John 21, he says, you know the whole, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Teach my sheep. When Peter gets this revelation, wow, he goes from Simon back to Peter again. Restored, reconciled, gets back together again. He preaches that amazing sermon and 3,000 people get added to the church. Revelation, reconciliation, power. Luke writes of Peter in Acts 5, power and grace is multiplied to them. So even when you walk past and your shadow falls over the people, they will be healed. Luke writes of Peter in Acts 10, when he has this dream, and he's up on the thing and the sheet comes down, he has this revelation of Jews and Gentiles. It's not just about eating meat. It's about a revelation of eating meat and the Jews and the Gentiles and everybody coming together. From now on, revelation. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Revelation. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Reconciliation. Therefore, if anyone in Christ is new creation, reconciliation, revelation, power. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come, reconciliation. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and trusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, now why is the therefore, therefore? Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us, power and revelation. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God for our sake. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, revelation and power. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. We are not like old cars who went and had a new engine put in. We are new, brand new creations in Christ. All things that were have gone, and all things that will become in us, in Christ Jesus. And when we see that and understand that, we are come back to the picture of living this abundant life, maturing and going forward in this abundant life, blessing upon blessing and favor upon favor will be our portion. Stay on the 401. Don't go looking for other stuff. Stay where we are, focused on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And that concludes our series. Let's all just stand together, please. Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you seal these words in our hearts? Would you bring a deeper revelation, a deeper understanding of reconciliation and the power, the dunamis, the divine power that is ours to take hold of and to use whenever we need against the enemy? Lord God, let our hearts, let us understand that you are the gate, that you are the door, you are the good shepherd. Thank you, Lord God, that we focus on you, Jesus. We come and we honor you, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for the Logos word. Thank you for the Rhema word. Thank you, Lord God, that you have deemed it so that we are blessed in your sight, that we are favored in your sight, in Christ Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen.